Please rate and review Geist on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. It helps other darkness dwellers find us. Enlightenment, noun. The act or means of enlightening, the state of being enlightened. A philosophical movement of the 18th century, marked by a rejection of traditional social, religious, and political ideas, and an emphasis on rationalism. A final blessed state marked by the absence of desire or suffering. If you're searching for enlightenment, how do you know you've reached it? Are you prepared to be enlightened? And are you prepared for what comes with it? Welcome to the world beyond the veil. This is Geist.
My name is Kelsey Davies. I am an actress, singer, dancer, and a psychic medium. So I make content on social media. I'll do YouTube videos. I'll visit the most haunted places in the world. I'll share my journey through vlogs. I like sharing my life with people and my spiritual journey as well. I feel like me sharing it online can help other people, and it has helped a lot of people as well. And that's just something that's very important to me and that I've been very called to be doing. I was very, very shy. If anyone from high school would describe me, they'd be like, oh, that girl was really quiet. She was always kind of sitting in the hallway by herself or doodling, drawing. I would always be doing artwork because I'm an artist as well. So I'd always be drawing something, kind of be to myself. I would get very, very overwhelmed by just being in large groups of people. And that's something I didn't understand until I started really spiritually developing my gifts. Overwhelming amount of energy. I would always be napping. My family knows that every time I would get overwhelmed by any energy when I was little, I would be napping. I would always be sleeping. And I feel like in my sleep, that's when I started getting a lot of different things in my sleep, like visions and messages from the beyond that I felt comforted by. So I enjoyed going into that realm when I would, you know, go take my naps. So
Kelsey Davies is fascinating. As a gifted psychic medium, she has artistically portrayed her experiences online to create an almost 6 million person following on TikTok and over 2 million subscribers on YouTube. She's very authentic and extremely sweet, and I replay my conversation with her over and over in my head because it was just so enlightening speaking to her. Arriving at this moment took overcoming a lot of painful obstacles.
I was always very misunderstood. I was very quiet. So there was a lot of bullying that went on when I was growing up because I was just quiet. People knew that I wouldn't say anything or I wouldn't fight back. I almost feel like I'm a karmic mirror to something I've always felt, is that people would see their reflection off of me and they would kind of project onto me because I was quiet and I would take it. But it is a part of why I'm here, is to help people reflect on themselves. It always goes back to high school for some reason. I feel like that's when I started becoming more aware of this and more aware of, like, why do people treat me this way when I'm literally doing nothing? I'm quiet. I'm not, you know, egging anyone on. I just never fit in with people. I never found a group that I would fit in with. I was always kind of on my own, but I would have a couple friends, but they weren't really close friends. I don't know. I would just have moments where I'd be really overwhelmed socially. So I was asking my family, I was like, does anyone have stuff like me where they see things? Because I see things. When I would try to be vocal about it, people would be dismissive. Like kids at school, they'd be like, ghosts aren't real. You're faking it. I don't believe you. So then in my head, I was like, maybe I'm imagining things. Maybe that, you know, that was a dream and I'm just imagining things. It's been tough, but I've definitely found ways to protect my energy and to set my boundaries and, you know, just learn from dealing with people, just learn from it and become a better person and know that I don't want to be one of those people. I never knew I had gifts growing up. My close family, they never really were religious or they never really tapped into that side spiritually. So my mom always had a really good intuition about things. She would always know things, but she'd always just say, it's mother's intuition, it's mother's intuition. But I remember there was one time I was sleeping and I had a very negative entity come to me in my sleep. And I had to go into my mom's room and I couldn't even say the word ghost out loud because it scared me so badly. I told her, I was like, there's a ghost. Like I whispered it, you know, there's a ghost. It's like, she didn't know how to handle it because it kind of scared her. And she's kind of dismissive with that stuff. Like, oh, it was just a dream. It was just this, you know, she didn't know any better. I vouch for any parent who, if their child is saying they had an experience with a ghost in the middle of the night, like it's pretty valid to be a little bit dismissive.
Kelsey's dreams began to become undeniable.
I had this dream of these fires by my house. And this is when I really started being vocal about my dreams because this one really scared me. It was these hills by our house. And there was this big mushroom-shaped cloud. The hills were on fire. In the dream, we were going to have to evacuate. It was really intense. I told my mom all day. I was like, Mom, I had this really, really vivid dream. I don't know what it was, but there was this big mushroom-shaped cloud. And the hills, you know, in the canyon, they were on fire. And I just kept going on about this dream all day. And my mom was just like, okay, you know, whatever. It was a dream. And then we were driving later that day. It was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We saw this big mushroom-shaped cloud. Mom, that's the cloud from my dream. That's it. And it looked very smoky. Like it didn't look normal. And so she was like, that you literally have been describing that all day. That's weird. And I told her, I was like, I think it's by our house. I think it's the hills that were on fire in my dream. And we drive up there and it was the hills next to our house. It was the holy fires that happened.
The holy fire of 2018 was a wildfire that burned in the Cleveland National Forest in Orange and Riverside counties of California. The blaze burned over 23,000 acres and destroyed 18 buildings. And Kelsey dreamt of it before it happened.
We almost had to evacuate. We didn't, though, which is good. Sometimes my dreams are a little more intense, but that's when she was really like, okay, you have something that was weird. That was very unexplainable.
Kelsey's visions then spilled into experiences while she was awake.
I would have experiences where I would see this man in a brown suit and he would scare me. It was a ghost. When I first started seeing him, I want to say I was really little. I feel like I've seen him since I was young because there was something so familiar about him. I was in the kitchen. I was looking in the window washing my hands and I glanced up and I saw this man in a brown suit with his glasses, his silver watch, standing by the fridge. And I turned around, freaked me out because I was so scared of this stuff. Just growing up with experiences, I was like, nope, I don't want to see that. I kept seeing this man more often. I just knew for some reason he was on my grandpa's side, and I figured out he was my grandpa's dad. We later got his name, which is, I call him Lenny, but his name is Len. He died before my mom was born. So we contacted my mom's cousin. I was looking at this family video. There were like 10 people in it, and they were all taking a family photo in the video. And I paused it and I pointed him out. I was like, Mom, that's him. And we asked my mom's cousin. She was like, yeah, the man in the white shirt, that's Lenny. That's your grandpa's dad. I found these other photos of him older, which is the age that I was seeing him, with the same exact glasses, the silver watch. Then I asked my grandpa all these things about him. I just knew all these details about his personality. And I asked him if he had a brown suit. And he was like, yeah, he did have a brown suit, with my grandpa. And he didn't even question it. Like, once he knew exactly, he was like, oh, yeah, you have gifts, you have things. So that was one of the most, like, more profound experiences I had. I have this feeling that these gifts get more progressive in your mid to late 20s. And so as I was in my 20s and I was getting older, I was starting to see things more and more. And we dug into my family's history and found out Lenny's wife had gifts like me. She was Native American. Her son had gifts like me. They would do seances, but they would talk to the dead. They would, I guess his great grandmother as well, she would read people's fortunes with tea leaves too. And no one told me this, so I had to find out the hard way. It was like my whole world kind of flipped upside down, but it definitely got me interested in getting more progressed with my spiritual gifts and understanding them. Coming out, being vocal about it online, people calling you crazy, people saying you're a scammer, when I've never charged for a reading in my life. I don't charge for them. It just happens. So it's just something that I've had to deal with. It was like news sources and people with millions of followers going online saying I have a mental illness. And that's something that's been really hard, because it's been so special to me, this whole journey. It's been so special and so beautiful. And to share it is very vulnerable, because it quite literally saved my life. It really did. But I was depressed. I had severe anxiety from having things that I didn't understand, and just having a lot of really bad experiences in my life. I was at my lowest point, you know, and I was very suicidal. I was very, like, at the end. I was at my wit's end. I think I needed to get there to start opening up to the spiritual side, because I was so brainwashed and I was so shut off to it for a while.
While on vacation, Kelsey sought help from a healer.
But this healer was channeling an angel that I've seen. She channeled through a healer that I met in Costa Rica. I call her Mother Bird. It has a bunch of eyes with wings, and I guess that's in the Bible, which it freaked me out when I first saw it. I didn't understand it. And she was like, we lost you for a while there. Like, I get emotional talking about it. It's like so crazy, but she was like, we lost you for a while. And I was just like, yeah, I know. Like, I was just crying because it was so surreal. And she was like, I'm glad you found your way back to us. I'm glad you found your way back. For someone who wanted to die, it was like I just like wanted nothing more than to be reborn and to live and to share my gifts, you know, and share this experience with the whole world. And it's like, I'm so, so grateful every single day now. It's wild.
Kelsey started to explain the point where she reached enlightenment. Now, it may be hard for you to understand. You may not even believe it. You don't have to. It doesn't matter. But it was so incredible to hear, and it energized me to a level that I wasn't expecting.
Just going from such a dark place and being there for so long in that lower vibration, it's crazy because as I uplifted my vibrations after everything that happened with my spiritual journey, I literally was vomiting because I was getting used to the new vibration that I was at, and it was so, so hard. I had ascension sickness, which is a real thing, and when your body is at a low vibration and it rises, your vibrations rise, and Earth's vibrations are rising right now. That's just what's happening. I would wake up every morning. It wouldn't make any sense. I'm in good health, you know. I would wake up and my whole body would be vibrating. During enlightenment again, I would start questioning it, and I would go vomit every time I would question it, every time I would doubt it. And then as I stopped doubting it, stopped questioning it, I stopped vomiting. I would have to sit there and meditate or do yoga or something because my whole body would not stop like tingling and vibrating. And I felt like I had a fever, but I didn't. You know, it was just really, really bizarre. And I was on an SSRI. And as soon as I got off of it, it's like everything just started happening, and it was the hardest time. This was this year, so that's why it's so raw and in my head. I feel like I've experienced death, which is so wild, and a rebirth. So it's like now I've never just been so at peace with things. I understand that it all happens for a reason. I get channeled messages every day from spirit. And it always, I just know everything is going to work out, and it has been, and it's been so, so surreal and so just otherworldly. I think that anyone can get there. I really do. So when I'm channeling or getting messages from the beyond, it's a lot of it is with the source energy. A lot of it is a sense of knowing, or I'll get visions. I'll get images through my mind's eye. You know, a lingering energy of someone who passed on, who is still here. Doesn't mean they're stuck here. Doesn't mean they're in a bad place. A lot of the times energy lingers and it manifests itself. And I believe that spirits and beings can be in multiple places at once. It's something that I'm still trying to understand because there's so much to it. So some of the most memorable paranormal experiences that I've had, there was one that happened quite recently, actually. It was about a week ago. So my friends invited me to this warehouse. He sells and collects a bunch of toys, antiques and things like that. And he's had some weird paranormal experiences in his little warehouse. So no YouTuber has filmed here. There's no information. I had no idea what it was. My friends like to test me with my gifts. So they'll say nothing. They will not tell me anything. And they'll just be like, come here at this time, and then I show up. The owner, he didn't want to tell them anything, so my friends didn't even know anything either. He just let us go in, and on the way there, when we were driving, I kept seeing this little boy in my mind's eye with a blue baseball cap. It was very prominent. I wasn't sure if he had anything to do with the place I was going or if he was just a visitor in the car. So I kept telling my boyfriend, I was like, there's this little boy with a blue baseball cap. He followed us all the way to the toy store. So I was like, he has to have something to do at this place, you know? And so we arrived to the toy store and there was just a lot of energy in there. It was very, very cluttered. And I felt like there was a lot of energy with the items.
Then someone caught Kelsey's eye.
There was this man by this red refrigerator that I kept seeing and described him. And I was like, there's a man standing over there. Later on, I got this message that someone had died of lung cancer. So I vocalized that. I was like, there is a man who he died of lung cancer. I'm not sure if it was the same guy that I saw standing, you know, by the fridge earlier. And then there was this one doll. Like, this is a place with thousands of dolls and items. And there was this one doll I was drawn to for some reason. And I pointed it out and the name Polly came to me. So I told my friends, you know, I was like, I just got the name Polly. And so they were like, okay. So they were writing down things that I got. I felt like there were two little girls in there as well. And one of them was killed. One of them was drowned by a man. The night went on, we got all this information. My friends, they met up with the guy the next day and they told him everything that I saw and experienced and what we got. And he was like mind blown, believes a lot of his family haunts the building, and he called out to family members specifically to come through that night for us. He had this 8-year-old cousin who was playing in the street and he had a Dodgers baseball cap, a blue Dodgers baseball cap on, I think was hit by a car or something and died. And so he believes that the little boy I was seeing was his cousin. And then there with the doll, there was a woman who gave them the doll. I believe she passed away and her name was Paulina. And I looked it up and Polly is a nickname for like Paulina. And then the man standing by the fridge, I guess there's an altar by the fridge that I didn't see. And he believes that the man standing next to it was one of his family members that was with that altar, the way I described him and everything. And then the lung cancer, his dad had died of stage 4 lung cancer. And then the two little girls, he was like, I've felt these two little girls following me for years. And he was just like blown away that I picked up on the two little girls. But I don't think he knew anything about them. He just knew that he just knows that they're with him for some reason. So this was a very emotional one for me, and it's very, very memorable. But I was able to help a grieving mother who had lost her child. She reached out to me, I think about a week after her daughter passed. And her daughter was, I think, 2 or 3 years old, and she had passed of something with her brain. There was, you know, it was really, really sad. And she was just like, I want to know if she's okay. That's all I want to know. She just wanted me to reach out and see if her daughter would come through. At first, her daughter, like, she came through. She was a little bit shy with me. She showed up with this older woman that she was with. And she was like, oh my God, my grandma passed away 6 months ago. And it's just good to know that she's with someone. And I was like, don't worry, she's not alone. And she just kept saying, Mommy, I can hear you. I can hear you. And she was like, I have always wondered, or I've been wondering if she can hear me. I didn't know if it was too early. I've been talking to her out loud. I've been praying to her. And I've been wondering if she could hear me. And she just kept saying, Mommy, I can hear you. I can hear you. And she showed me, I believe it was yellow butterflies is what she was showing me. I mentioned that to her. I was like, she keeps showing me like yellow butterflies. And she's also doing this symbol. She was trying to do something with her hands that I couldn't figure out. It almost looked like some sort of sign language or something. And so she just kept sticking her pinky up. So I told her, I was like, she's sticking her pinky up and I'm not sure what that means to you. She was like, oh my gosh. So when before she died, she could not speak. So I told her, I was trying to teach her sign language. I was trying to teach her, I love you. And she couldn't quite get it. So her sticking her pinky up was her trying to, you know, do the I love you sign. And then the yellow butterflies, she told her daughter before she passed, butterflies are going to be our sign. Come back to me as butterflies. And that was their sign. Memorial area she had of her. She had like a butterfly on the wall and stuff. And then the funeral home that they had picked out for her, the room they picked out had yellow butterflies all over the walls. She just was very relieved that her daughter was okay and she was safe and that I was able to relay those things to her. So that was really, really emotional. And yeah, that's something that really sticks in my mind.
Kelsey's journey has taken her to many places, but also different realms of the unknown.
So I've been to a lot of haunted locations around the world. That's what my whole YouTube channel is. I've visited the Cecil Hotel, the Stanley Hotel. I've gone to Cambodia, to Thailand, to the bad forest in Japan. There's just been so many crazy places I've been and so many stories and so many things just caught on camera that it's just, you can't even deny these experiences because I can talk about them, but I also have them on camera, caught on video. There was one experience I had at the Stanley Hotel that was really bizarre.
The Stanley Hotel is famously haunted, but gained notoriety after Stephen King spent a night there in 1974, and his experiences at the Stanley inspired him to write the novel, The Shining.
When I went to the Stanley Hotel the first time, I got an illness that was really, really bad. I almost had to go to the hospital. My mom and my grandma, they went to explore the Stanley Hotel, and I was in the room. It was kind of like I was half awake, half asleep, but I was dealing with this intense fever, vomiting. Like, I was very dehydrated. I was trying to eat ice chips. It was really awful. And there was this man that came in with a briefcase, and he said he was a doctor. He had this old headlight and this brown briefcase and walked in and just like let me know he was a doctor. And then there was a woman sitting on the chair behind him that was in this old, like just old fashioned clothing. It was just such a weird moment because I was okay with it. It was like they were checking in on me. But then I realized after, I was like, why would there be a doctor in here? But then I knew he was like deceased, but I was like okay with him being there. Kind of felt like he did something because I woke up feeling like a little bit better. Just like in the moment, it made sense. I was like, yeah, there's a doctor here. But then after, it's kind of like when you're in a dream, everything makes sense. But then after, you're like, what was that? So in Thailand, this was a psychic slash ghost story, kind of a mix of both. We were on these, you rent these like scooters out there and they just kind of give them to anyone. That's how they get around, is on these motorcycle scooter Vespa things, riding mine. And I kept getting this vision that was so aggressive of my bike crashing. My bike like crashing, the mirror was broken, you know, because I was not very experienced on these bikes. And I was like, if I crash and we're going like 50 miles per hour, it's not going to be good for me. We got to these temples and I told my dad, I was like, Dad, I can't drive my bike. It's going like, I keep seeing it crashing. And he was like, all right, you know, and he kind of didn't really understand it. And he was like, okay, well, we'll have Noki, who is his girlfriend. She is, you know, a native to Thailand. So she has ridden these bikes her whole life. I even told her, I was like, you're not going to crash it, right? And she was like, no, no. So we went to these caves after. There were like human bones there that were 43,000 years old. These caves were ancient. when we were in there, I had this experience with this super dark, ancient energy that was here before humans. I kept grabbing my right shoulder and I was like, my shoulder's burning right now. Like, it hurts. It was just like this weird experience. And I, you know, got it to leave us alone. And I told it, I was like, you can't follow me from the cave. We were on the bikes and we were on our way back to our hotel. And I was on the back of my dad's bike. And then we had my friend Tyler on his bike and then Noki was on mine. And we were going like, me and my dad were going like 60 some miles per hour. I think Noki was going like 40 something. I just got that feeling again. And we were at this red light and I was like, Dad, I think, like, I don't know, I have a really bad feeling right now. And he was like, do you want me to slow down? And I told him, I said, that's not gonna help this feeling. I have a bad feeling. Our friend Tyler came up on his bike and started honking the little horn. He was like, Noki crashed, Noki crashed. Like, she went down. And so we turned around, we didn't see her anywhere. My bike's on the floor, the mirror's broken the way I saw it in my vision. Her right shoulder, the one that I kept grabbing earlier, was like an inch below where it should be. So it was completely out of socket. I asked her what happened and she said her bike just started slipping. She doesn't know how, but it started slipping. She hit the side of a truck and fell and crashed going like 40 something miles per hour. So then my dad was like freaked out because I was telling him the bike's gonna crash and it happened. So she has no idea still like how it happened. Had a hematite bracelet on. And the hematite bracelet broke off and shattered. And it was on her right arm. Hematite, like, it absorbs negative energy and it breaks when it's done. And it broke. Maybe it was a warning. Maybe it was trying to show me what was going to happen. Or it was trying to do it to me. And I said no. And Noki, you know, she didn't know any better. Like, I didn't know it was going to follow her. I had no idea. All I saw was my bike crashing. So I assumed it was me. Yeah, it's like crazy. So I have a few haunted dolls and items. And I have one, her name is Lola. She's very well known on social media. She's kind of a big deal. I got Lola originally because I don't know, I had this weird, I always call it like an epiphany or a weird intuitive download in the car that I should get a haunted doll. I went on eBay and there was this woman, Fire Torch Findings, who was selling some of her haunted doll collection. I saw Lola's photo and I just bought her. So I bought her. I was really nervous at first. We didn't really get along. She didn't like me shoving the camera in her face the first day I got her. You know, she wanted to be respected and she would move things and kind of, she knew I was a little bit nervous. So I think she kind of played into that. I started really tapping into my mediumship and she really, really actually helped me understand certain things, which is interesting. It's funny because like when I would see her, I'd see her with her hair is super curly. She has like super dark curly hair and she is super tall and slender and she has this white nightgown on. And I think it's the nightgown that she died in. I didn't tell my boyfriend like how I was seeing her exactly. He ended up seeing her standing in my room at one point when he was a skeptic. So he saw her standing in my room. But her story is she was born in 1901 and passed away in 1919 during the Spanish flu pandemic. I feel a lot with my chest whenever I'm with her, and so as other mediums. And she ended up dying at 18 years old. So she's 18 years old. She likes to sing is what I found out. There's been certain songs that she's been humming, and then I like try to find them online and I end up finding them, and it's been interesting, and they're from like the early 1900s. But she's a very sweet spirit. She's pretty powerful, honestly. Just everyone started liking her on social media just whenever I would post about her. There's something about her energy that people just love. Because sometimes when she comes through, it seems more powerful than just this girl who died in the 1900s. Sometimes I think that she's part of my spirit family or spirit team. I don't know for sure, but it's a really strong intuitive feeling. Maybe I had a past life with her.
When Kelsey pauses before she says the word intuitive, we caught an EVP. We'd been having interruptions during her interview the entire time. It has its own sound wave and it has some vocal tone. It sounds like a muffled me too, but I'm open to suggestions.
I have a couple haunted. I have a haunted painting that's like right by me. There's a girl named Hannah with it. She always knocks over my pillows up here. So I'll always come up here and find my pillows on the floor. I'll hear rustling up here of papers and stuff like that. I'll see her run past me really quickly all the time, but there's not really a lot of talking to her. I also have a statue downstairs. His name is Emile. He's from France. He always says bonjour. Like on the spirit talker, you always hear him say that. I was at an antique store and I walked up to him and I felt this energy with him. I had like this dream about him. It was like a month later, I think. And so I was like, I wonder if he's still at that antique store. So I went back. I was like, I gotta buy him. I don't know. I just like wanted to buy him. I was like, do you know if like there's any hauntings in here? Have you ever experienced anything like that with him? And they were like, yeah, he moves. Like he moves all the time. We all think he's haunted. And I was like, yeah, he is. That's why I'm buying him. I believe he unalived himself. I keep seeing like this. I don't know if it's a bridge or what it is. I know he's from like the 1800s from France. And there's this archway that I see all the time. It's like this brown archway. And I always see him dangling from it. I don't know. He kind of creeps me out, honestly, sometimes. He's very sad looking guy. And he kind of peeks around the corner at Drew all the time and freaks him out. And I'll just be like brushing my teeth and he'll be standing behind me just like looking really sad. And yeah, he's a different one. There's a spirit in my apartment named Pauline. Just is always like in a hurry to go somewhere. She's always just flying by. And I've gotten some information on her. She has like this big black dress on and she's just always in a hurry, just doing her thing. I don't know. I do like reenactments of them on my TikTok. So all I think of is if you've seen those, you should go check it out. I don't think she's residual because I don't think she lived here, you know, but I think she lived around here.
And to top it all off, Kelsey has a portal in her apartment.
So the portal in my house, I feel like there's a lot of, it's not necessarily bad things that come through, but there are a lot of travelers, I guess that's the best word for it. There's this one man that came the other night and he was very perverted. And he like kind of freaked me out. Like I felt him just over my shoulder and I wasn't sure who he was because I saw the glasses. So I was like, oh, maybe that's Lenny, you know, whatever. But this man was not Lenny. He came to me in my sleep and just showed me a lot of really perverted things that I didn't want to see. So sometimes there'll be things that just kind of come through, but I do think that the spirits or my guides or whatever spirits are in this house kind of prevent things from coming through too. But then every once in a while something slips and something comes in. Yeah, I'm always cleansing though and saging and, you know, cleansing my house. So so what I see in the future with this gift is that I'm able to help others understand and open themselves up to, I don't know, their gifts, or doesn't even have to be that intense, just open them up and awaken, to help awaken others in the most positive way, to help people with their mental health, to help people who are going through really hard times, and to help others just find hope again. I just want to help people. That's all I want to do. I think that sharing everything online will bring that in as well. I don't feel like I'm going to have to actively be doing, you know, spiritual events or things like that. I do feel like everything that I'm putting out there, it's on the internet forever. I do feel like that, and reaching a wide amount of people, I think that it will help in the most natural way. I just kind of roll with the universe. It just sounds so corny and cheesy, but I really just kind of let it take me where it needs to go. And I trust it so much that I'm like, it hasn't disappointed me. So that's my plans, just to ride with it.
We are not alone in the world of the strange and unusual. If you are ever feeling lost, there are people out there for you. If you're in urgent need of help in Canada or the US, you can dial 988 for the Suicide Crisis Helpline. International numbers are available online. A very special thanks to Kelsey Davies for sharing her incredible journey. Do you have a story you've been hiding? Submit it to us at hello.geist.podcast@gmail.com. Both written and recorded submissions are welcome. Geist is written and directed by Danielle Matar. Original music and FX by Bo Jensen. Mixing and sound by Adam Esker. Geist logo is by Jake Carruthers. Follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, Instagram, and TikTok. Thank you once again for joining us. And until next time, sleep tight.